So then you remember being in Bastogne?
I remember being there.
The Germans left there. They were severely defeated in loss of men and equipment. For the Americans, there were about 500,000 to 840,000 men, and they had some 70 to 89,000 casualties, including 19,000 killed.
I remember there what they had done. As an infantryman, just in the Army, you're all a private. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing staff sergeants, corporals. They brought everybody from the backfield, the supporting groups. They got them out of their offices. They put rifles in their hand. And these people all were sergeants, corporals, staff sergeants, majors. And all of a sudden, they got weapons. And they don't have the background of using the weapon that we had, but they knew how to use it. Seeing them right next to you, it was hard for me. They brought the office force up now.
The Battle of the Bulge was the largest and was the bloodiest battle fought in World War II. And you were there and survived all that.
Yeah. That was the worst of the war.
I'm just thinking about simple things like sleeping. Were you afraid to go to sleep?
Most of the time we'd find fields with haystacks. And we found that you can really sleep in there. We made our way to one town. The first house we went into, it was nobody in the house, and we decided to go down the basement. We'll bed down here. One of us will stay a while and guard, and then the other one will trade off. Well, we both fell asleep. All of a sudden, there was a thud. This is late at night, maybe early morning. A thud. We looked around, couldn't find anything, and then through the cement wall was his nose of a shell, had it gone in there and didn't detonate. You want to see two guys, thank God, again, we've been saved.
Wow.
The shell come in and just penetrated the wall. You could just see the end of it sticking out. These kind of you hear about, you know, but you never see. But I saw it.
You escaped death many, many, many times.
Yeah, nobody's going to believe this. You've been drinking. No, they're going to have to believe it. We saw it.
These German houses were empty because...
They had already left.
Because the war was on and they knew the Americans were coming.
Them leaving their houses was also a happy time for us because we got a chance to loot, is the word, I think, where you went in and you took what you thought you wanted or what you needed or ate. One thing was good about the German. They all liked booze. And their downstairs had a good supply, usually. Not the cheap stuff either. It was all good booze. We had a routine. Two guys go together. They go to the first house. They check the thing over. If everything's okay, they make a signal back to the second team. And they pass you, and they go to the next house. And da-da, da-da, that's how we clean out the place. Well, I wasn't assigned to the first, but we got no signal back from the couple that went in there. So, Kaiser, you and Weed, go in there and find out. They may have got taken. Be careful. So we go in there, and there they are. Downstairs, I mean, they're really putting it away. And so does Ernie. We forget. The next 10 minutes, I thought it was the firing squad because the lieutenant came in, and he saw the four of us down there. He said, if there wasn't a war on, I'd shoot all four of you. Anyway, we had our exposure to the booze, and from then on, it was all war again.
Did you ever go hungry days without eating?
No. When we take prisoners, we used to exchange sardines with the Germans because they got better brand of sardines than we did. They were prisoners, and we'd check in their mess kits.
You were around the German prisoners?
Yeah. We usually set a section back from our combat area, maybe a quarter mile, maybe a mile, which would be our company headquarters. And usually, if we had any prisoners, we had a stockade we kept back there. If we wanted to go eat, we'd go back there to eat, which brings up a story where I said, I'm going back to headquarters, I'm going to eat. So I went back there, and I'm standing in line at the chow line, and in comes artillery. Well, I took a dive, and I landed on top of somebody. And I told him in words that were not pure, get your ass down because mine is sticking up. He turned around and his cross on his helmet, it was a chaplain. And I said, oh, God, I'm going to go to hell. Sure enough, I'm going to make it after that one. We usually kept everybody at a central point.
After a while, you just lived with the possibility you were going to die. So you didn't. Oh, yeah. You just didn't even think about it.
But I keep coming up with the word luck. I love it because it's what I had. Mm-hmm. I had luck when I met my wife. I met the most beautiful woman in the world. She was no millionaire. Her dad didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a big house. Neither did we. But I started there. I got a job in a factory. I had luck. I was making money.
The war is not over with yet. The defense of Bastogne, that all moved on, and it ended January 25th. So finally, there was the bridge at Remagen.
I want to ask one question that I don't know. When was it you had the flamethrower?
This is one of those humors.
Where were you at that time? I don't know.
I don't remember. Wherever it was, the Germans had emplacements on a hill, and they had embrasures where they were inside this ground surface covered.
They're bunkers.
Yeah. Anyway, they were firing at us. They were getting some favorable hits, but we had a flamethrower. A flamethrower doesn't carry a gun. He doesn't carry a weapon other than the butane tank. So he has to have protection. I was it. I babysit him for quite a few battles. And all of a sudden, he gets hit. Well, nobody knows how to run a flamethrower. Hey, you're the closest thing to the flamethrower. You take the flamethrower. Okay. So I got the flamethrower now. And I got me an assistant that's going to save my life if I need saving. So we're coming to this embrasure. And the lieutenant says, I'm going around the back with a group. And he says, what I want you to do with that flamethrower, I want you to get that shot right through the area where they put their guns. When that goes in, he says, I'm coming in on both sides, and we're going to load it with hand grenades. I waited, I think, 4 or 5 minutes. Now, I had used it before, and I got pretty good with it. But I blew my record. You're shooting from the hip. Like it's, so your aim is what's up here. I went over the doggone thing. He came back around the corner. His pants was on fire. And he said that there wasn't a war on that shoots you. Anyway, he got his projectiles into the thing, and we cleared the gun. But boy, he was mad at me. But I can see why, though. My first round, oh, I had done some previous shooting, and I was very effective with it. I had learned pretty fast. But
so a flamethrower, that was a flame.
Well, yeah, you don't have anything to aim with. You you just, from your use of the thing, you know what angle of attack you're going to have.
But it would start a fire then wherever it was.
Hey, yes, it is hot. Finally, I got rid of that thing. Somebody new came to the company, and they taught him how to do it.
With your soldier friends around you being killed, do you have any recollection of actually killing any Germans yourself?
No. No, I can't even feel proud.
Well, you were distant from them because you were always...
I wouldn't know if I hit them. And anybody I've put bayonets on, I have never had combat with bayonets other than in training.
It was never face-to-face or hand-to-hand combat.
No.
You were in the armored tanks and then firing from a distance.